editing from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 27. Yat karoshi
karoshi
yat
asnasi
asnasi
yat
juhoshi
juhoshi
tadasi
tadasi
yat
yat
tapasyasi
tapasyasi
kaunteya
kaunteya
tat
tat
mat
mat
arpanam
arpanam
sakurushva
kurushva
mat
arpanam
arpanam yat karoshi yad asnasi
yat karoshi yad asnasi
yad juhoshi tadasi yat
juhoshi tadasi yat
yat tapasyasi kaunteya
yat tapasyasi kaunteya
tatkurushva madarpanam
tatkurushva madarpanam
yat karoshi yad asnasi
yat karoshi yad asnasi
yad juhoshi tadasi yat
juhoshi tadasi yat
yat tapasyasi kaunteya
yat tapasyasi kaunteya
tatkurushva madarpanam
tatkurushva madarpanam
yat karoshi yad asnasi
yat karoshi yad asnasi
yad juhoshi tadasi yat
juhoshi tadasi yat
yat tapasyasi kaunteya
yat tapasyasi kaunteya
tatkurushva madarpanam
tatkurushva madarpanam
yat karoshi yad asnasi
yat karoshi yad asnasi
juhoshi tadasi yat
yat juhoshi tadasi yat
tapasyasi
Purushva,
Purushva,
do,
mat,
creation and perfect by His divine grace, is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends here in that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called Archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra around his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Mahamishram Sthavitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Paramahyam Tadati Svapadantina Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagranaradunatam Tantam Sanjeevam Sarvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagranaradunata Shri Vishakapitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jayapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Why Lord Shri Krishna is insisting that everything, without any exception, that what we do must be done as an offering to Him?
Why? Maybe he's a big egotist.
Everything belongs to him. Does it make him egoistic? Those who do not belong everything, they become egoistic. But this is a rightful claim. Because everything is made up of his energies. Everything is a manifestation of his energy. And the energetic can claim that it is his. We may borrow all the energy to perform anything that we are doing. We are the borrower, so we are indebted. In indebted case, we have no right to claim. Rather, they are supposed to pay up our debts. Then, whatever the profit is there, we can share. Right? So the idea is that when we were born, nothing was belonging to us. Rather, Krishna provided from the very beginning, he made the arrangement that we may have air, water, milk, whatever we want at that time. It's not by chance that this is occurring when we were born. We are obligated even to fulfill the desires that we have come over here. We have to borrow his energy and fulfill the desire. It is said that when the first living entity, Lord Brahma, was born from the navel, there was a lotus growing, and he was born on the lotus. And he thought something that I can recognize that the Lord is master, because he realized after long austerities, because he was also born in the darkness of ignorance. He could not ascertain who he was, why he was, where he was, because everything was total dark and ignorant situation. On his own, he is unable to realize all these things. So he was frustrated. But Garuda Chai Vishnu, his originator, he was compassionate. So there was sound vibration, tapa, tapa. And these are transcendental sound vibration that came from the Lord's mouth, who is the transcendental personality. And it inspired Lord Brahma, because such sound entered into his 8 ears. So such hearing cannot go in void, you know, because 8 directions have been covered so far. So Brahma was inspired to think. Then gradually he comes to the point that, yes, I also did once upon a time in the previous millennium when I was born, I had to do that all over again. So he makes up his mind and goes into a very stern austerity for about 1,000 celestial years. And then he becomes self-realized by the austerity that he performs. And then he realizes that, I'm obligated to the Lord. Even the sound and our perception is supposed to be a service to, not for our sense gratification alone. If we, whatever we are made up of, it is totally his energy, and we cannot claim anything on our own. So when we are asked by the Lord, that don't be miser, anybody can offer me a leaf, flower, a fruit, or even water. In the previous verse it is saying, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachate. But it should be done in the manner of loving devotional service. You start giving to him out of love, not out of want. Neither he is in need, and nor you can say that, I cannot afford to give. Even a little water, but he wants us to make an effort, an endeavor to please him, to offer his own thing. Then we cannot claim that it is ours. Whatever we do out of
borrowing his energy. Just like annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya danna sambhava yagya bhavati parjanya yagya karma samudbhav karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. The acts are originated from the Supreme. Means the energy for performance of any activity is coming from him. Brahmodbhavam vidhi. Brahmaksharam samudbhavam. Brahma, the sum total of the spiritual energy, is originated from the one who is infallible, the Supreme Absolute Personality of God. Therefore, in any activity of sacrifice, you understand that the Lord is present. He is asking us to sacrifice. Sacrifice means it should not go in vain, but it should be offered as a loving endeavor. Krishna says that. Atram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayacchati tad bhaktim upaharatam. I'm accepting, recognizing that devotion. And therefore, asnami prayatatmana, I eat. Because he is endeavoring. Because he is endeavoring to give me, offer me. So what does Krishna actually eat? Loving endeavor. He loves to eat. And he leaves the fruit behind for us as a prasad. So the idea is that even though everything is Krishna's energy and we are also made up of both bodily and by spirit soul, his energy. That is our constitution. So we cannot claim anything we may desire. But to fulfill the desire, we have to get supported by his energy and his manifestations, both in material as well as spiritual. So the idea is that we are totally dependent. We have no separate existence as an independent person. So never try to artificially claim independence. It's a hallucination. It's a mistaken identity that we are liberated, we are independent, whatever we like, we can do. I don't care. No, we are all interrelated. Not only in the human society, but also amongst the birds and animals. We are interrelated. Beautiful, right? So the idea is that we are interrelated and therefore we have obligation to each other. Of our interdependency, we have obligation. So, at a larger scale, our obligation, if you see, that ultimately it is ending to the Supreme Person, Lord Shri Krishna. So, if we give all the attention to our original obligation to Lord Shri Krishna by offering and paying back what we owe, that is an act of devotion. That is an act of devotion. Nothing belongs to us, but yet we can offer whatever is surrounding us because it's a manifestation of its energy, and we can offer it. Instead of having a propensity to lord it over, offering is the best option, because Krishna will explain that only such act of sacrifice will, and that is also to me, Krishna says, will save you from the bondage of those karma. These are all karmas. Karoshi means whatever you do, perform an activity, yad karoshi, yad ashnashi. To eat is also an activity. You have to work hard for that you know, stomach all your life. As long as the stomach is attached, you have to work for it. Nothing is free. Right? Even if you want to perform a fire sacrifice, just like Brahma wanted to sacrifice, but he didn't have anything. Everything was manifested in the form of Virata Rupa of Lord. And he has to use the Lord's own limb to offer as a sacrifice. He didn't have anything. This shows that even Lord Brahma, the greatest of all living entities, he has to offer back to Lord's own thing. Brahma is the originator for fire sacrifice. So one of the priests is called Brahma because he retains the purpose of the offering and oblation. So the idea is that we inherit the same obligation. We have nothing to offer our own. Whatever it is a manifestation of the Lord's energy. So naturally, what are we to offer? Nothing belongs to us. Yet we are asked to offer, because otherwise how will we survive? The real survival is in understanding and applying that understanding. It will make us realize that yes, it is true. We are obligated from how many lives? Not only in this life. But in this life we are able to understand that yes, we are obligated, and Krishna is so kind that he wants us to become really free by offering all that he asks for. It is not that Krishna is in want of it. Everything belongs to him. We are not recognizing. That is our mistake. But at the same time, we want to remain a little bit responsible for these demands, because we are religious in nature. We are trying to understand his desire as devotee. So naturally, when he asks, offer everything, that what you do, what you eat, what you offer as a homage, what you give in charity, and what you do the austerity for. Offer everything to me. Don't leave anything for yourself, other. So many a times when we go to collect some donation, people hesitate to give. They give in their own, capacity. But sometimes people say, oh, please tell Krishna, pray for me, that he may give more, so I can give him more. Many devotees, they collect money, Maharaj knows, right? So the idea is that they want to build a kind of, a tricky way, so they can befool the devotees. And they are telling, oh, whatever I'm giving you, just get satisfied. Go to some other place. Well, we don't have a choice, but sometimes by friendship, we also cultivate them and tell them, don't think Krishna doesn't know. He doesn't see what you are giving. He sees only what you are hiding. So, then he says, you guys are really clever, I said. But we don't want to pester. We will try to spare you. So you can give better next time. Krishna will inspire you. So in this way we have to cultivate friendship. We don't want to displease them. Whatever their heart's desire, and people really become more benevolent. And they try to give to Krishna's cause. But it should be directly offered. And we have to see that it goes directly in his service. If it doesn't go, then this offering is also
not good. So we need to look into that. So our obligation is to offer, because he has a very kind desire. He wants us to become free from the entanglement of the reactions of whatever we do, whatever we eat. If we eat for ourselves and our taste and our satisfaction, then such cooking is creating a spiritually unhealthy atmosphere. Not only that, materially he will be more bound up by the reactions that ensues, because he wants to enjoy the fruit of his work. The fruit of the work will make him more bewildered. In Kathopanishad, this is explained that there are two birds sitting on the same branch of a tree. They look alike, but they have different activities. One bird has fruit in the beak and is very, very filled with anxiety. His wings are fluttering and as if, you know, he is overprotective, over worried that somebody might steal. He has to protect. The other bird doesn't have any fruit in his mouth and is very happy, silent, and looking at the bird, which is the anxiety. Both are looking alike, but both are individuals. This comparison is the soul and super soul. The soul, desirous to enjoy the fruit of his work, gets the reaction, which are anxiety, unhappiness, entanglement, worries, no sleep, nothing. All his money is invested or engaged by somebody else. Somebody else used the money, but creates an anxiety. He cannot control the money. At the same time, the big so-called the richest people, they were in total anxiety. They remained all the time in total anxiety, because they are also in the same boat. They don't know how much money they have. It is that much money. And yet, everybody's after his money. The government is after. The charity people are after. Who is not after their money? And the person has to be so much alert that he has to engage big accountants and chartered accountants and so forth to control his money and assets. Such money is never free money, because it is always remaining invested. And the investors and the people who are in Wall Street or Dalal Street in Mumbai, they simply play around with the money in the figures. Play around. So every day he is being bombarded with the anxiety. Sometimes hopes of high payoff and sometimes total devastation. How many people have been devastated by this economic fall? So many people. So in this case, anxiety is the result of our attachment, which were not offered properly to Krishna. It is better to offer ourselves without any attachment. Krishna gives this particular trick. He says, when I descend in the human form, you know, people deride me, but they do not know that I am their well-wisher. If they want to get free, then I become an example to show how to act. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phaleshvaha. The karmas do not entangle me. Why? Because I have no attachment to the result of the karma. Na mai karma phale spruha. Itiyo mam abhijana. If somebody tries to know and follow me, karma virapi na badyate, he will never become bound up by the reactions. So, this kind of karma becomes yajna. And yajna is the form of the Lord Himself. So, yajnyathat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samacha. Only for the sake of pleasing Lord Vishnu, perform those activities, anything else besides it will become a bondage. And person cannot become free. They work hard day and night. The result is exhaustion. Pa means parishram, pa means pena, exhaustion. Ba means bandhan, they get bondage. Pa, pa, ba, ba means bhai. Anyone who is bound up by this, he is always fearful. Just like that bird. And those who are fearful, ma means mrityu. So this is called pavarga. It is connected with the alphabets in Sanskrit. Means it is the path of destruction. Called pavarga. Human being is not meant for the path of destruction. Rather, he is to elevate himself from the material status to the spiritual status. That is called apavarga. And that is reverse than power. How to develop upper worker in the association of the devotees? This intricate understanding will be obtained, which is equivalent to the potency of the Lord. Satam prasangam mamavi divan samudam. Bhavanti radhakarana rasayana katha, where the topics are of Lord Shri Krishna, when are discussed, you know, it should be properly heard and chanted. So, however the hearing is through the ear, but it should enter in the heart. So then, the path of liberation, that is upper varga, will be opened up for him. Where requisite faith in performing the activities which are described by Lord Shri Krishna, that offer it to me, then you will be understanding that. Then, rati means attraction. The attraction to the spiritual topics and practices that is being performed here will get more and more attractive. And then, bhakti will begin. Pure devotion pertaining to. This will resolve all the problems of life, which are janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, doshana, darshana. Krishna is advising us to look into these problems of the life and how to mitigate by cultivating Krishna consciousness. So, we are referring to Krishna's desire. When he is asking, even though we may think, what can I do? And in the Hindi prayer, they say,
और तेरा तुझको वापस क्या लागे मेरा, इज ऑल योर्स, आई एम गिविंग यू, व्हाट इज माय कनेक्शन विद यू. बट व्हाई डज ही हैव टू आस्क, यू वर नॉट गिविंग अप टिल नाउ एंड नाउ यू नो, बट यू आर गिविंग विद सम रिमोर्स. He will take away anyway at the time of death. If we want to give up, then give up with a bold heart. Yes, here is. Then never think of it. You know? Yes, if we want something to be corrected, then we have to have all the patience. You know, and we try to correct our inner faith, that is Krishna consciousness, and cultivate, support it, and grow. So then it will be so much soothing, so much appreciating that we will remain aware all the time of all our surroundings, what is happening. We will never become a victim of being taken for granted. This is a maturing state. Sometimes it costs us more than anticipated. But nothing is free. It is all Krishna's energy. But we have to be educated properly. So Krishna is universally giving this particular order in order to make a wholesale freedom available to everyone without any discrimination, because everything belongs to him. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kinchit jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita magata kasya suddana. Tena tyaktena, whatever your quota is, you know, you accept. Whatever your need, Krishna will provide. So, in this way, we have to be dependent with an obligation over our head that we have to pay back. An effort of devotional service is an effort to pay back all that we owed so far. And if we try to estimate how much we have been owning from 8.4 million species of life, can you imagine? Have you ever calculated our indebtedness? Huh? In every life, Krishna allowed us to fulfill desires which were separate from His desire. Only in human form of life, we are told that these are His desires and pay off. If we are able to satisfy Lord Shri Krishna alone, the whole world will be satisfied. Yasmin tuste jagat tusta. Try to satisfy him and everyone will be satisfied. That is the kind of life a devotee should live and work out in that way. So anybody has any comments, Maharaj?
If Krishna created that way that one species actually needs another species?
Krishna?
Is that how Krishna created that one species needs another species?
Yeah, jivo jivasya jivana. And there is a principle, life subsists on another life. But what is life? But other species are the food for other species, not for human beings.
What did they do wrong that they have to be killed and be food for
A tiger can kill.
He's asking, what did the deer do wrong that the tiger kills it?
Oh, deer do nothing wrong. But after all, what is dear? Is it not a soul and a body? What is body? Body is nothing but food. If one living entity wants to subsist on the food, then he had to eat a body. Aren't we eating roti? What does roti is made up of?
Why did Krishna create hunger?
That is the real question, 64,000 dollar question. Why do you have a stomach? Why do you have a stomach? That's a very intelligent question. First of all, stomach represents a very unsatisfied element. Or the one who has a separate desire, all are stuck with their stomach. Means the spirit soul doesn't have a stomach. But the spirit soul who wants to enjoy separately from Krishna is stuck with a stomach. And that too, all the living entities eat, sleep, mate and defend. All the living entities. They are stuck with the four activities. Starting from a single cell, all the way up to even demigods. There are 10 creations Brahma had to perform as a service to Lord Krishna. The first 8 are those who are under the subjugation of Mother Nature. Very obedient. They do not violate nature's law. So even in the higher species of life, like quadrupeds, animals, they have their stomach horizontal to the surface of the earth. Means they go parallel. They depend upon their natural cycle. But this human being, number 9th creation, Maitreya Muni, in the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, explains to Vidur, "Hey Vidur, listen this, number 9 is a pretty peculiar species." He says, "Aravak strotratu navamam kshattam eko vidondranam rajo adhika karma parabhukhecha sukramani." Number 9th creation is called Nara, means human being. And then a human being is distinguished from the other 8 by his stomach. Strotra means reservoir. The stomach is upside down. It's not horizontal. He stood on 2 legs, means he got up. Right? So his stomach is hanging. It is never going to be satisfied. Now you are telling, why do we have stomach? We have the stomach because of unsatiable desires. If we were animals, we would not eat. We would not have food problem. But because of human being, we have created food problem of our unsatiable desires, greed, lust, so much. So we are again endowed with more passionate mood, rajo adhika, karma para, that makes us hyperactive, just to fulfill those unsatiable desires and the greed. Alright? And the result is dukhecha sukhamanina. Even though we are surrounded with miseries, we count the number of miseries to calculate how much happy I am. On the strength of existing unhappiness or miseries, we compare
others, you have 5 miseries, you have 10 miseries, means you are unhappy. Are you unhappy? Dukkhecha sukhamanina. Your mental conception is that even though you have 5 dukkhas, you think you are happy. There is nothing like sukha. No happiness. The material world is a cheating experience and you think it is happiness. Right? So we are stuck with that stomach. Better control. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpaniya magraha tadasangasya lavyam cha satyir bhakti vinashati. Overeating or over accumulating is detrimental to the devotional service. Like that. We have to control. We are otherwise implicated by the stringent rules of material nature. We may degrade ourselves from the human being back to the animal platform. So, all glory is the stomach. Yes.
Just a short point to that is that, you know, why is because we desire. We have a desire, we want to lord it over material nature. So we like to dominate others and even to eat them. Like the tiger likes to eat the deer, and then the deer also he's getting some reaction from his activities in the past. But there's no cruelty in the arrangement of the Lord. That's the point I wanted to make.
There is no fault on the part of tiger to eat a deer. But there's a fault on human being, you know, who wants to kill animals. The fault of consciousness. Even though he does not have the same ability to eat a deer like a tiger, yet he tried to manipulate and transgress the natural laws. So that is a fault, and he must be punished for that. And after all, whatever he does as an activity, it was never meant for as an offering to Krishna. Neither it is favorable as a devotional service. So who is going to be implicated? Himself? Right. Okay. Any other?
How much knowledge we require to become a spiritual soul? How much knowledge once you get required to become a spiritual soul?
How much knowledge? Knowledge is not essential. Knowledge then becomes a byproduct of devotion. You just perform devotional service by chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The knowledge will come, will follow. It is not a prerequisite. Alright? It will come. Simply show your devotion. It will come. But be genuine in showing the devotion. Most of the people, they are not genuine in devotion. They think they are devoted, but they do not do any devotional service. They make a show, so naturally knowledge remains far away from them. Knowledge is a byproduct, and detachment is also a byproduct. But both are real situations that will tell you that yes, you are a devotee. A devotee is known, a mature devotee is known when both knowledge and detachment, which are causeless, they are awarded to him by practice of devotional service. A devotee is then recognized. You don't manufacture devotees in a factory. But there is a process. We have to transform by proper understanding. Knowledge means realization. Knowledge doesn't mean information collection. We have to apply the pertinent information in our life. So, just like Krishna says, yat karoshi yadashnashi yajuroshi dadasi yat yakpatasi sikhaunti yat karoshi madarpana. How much are we applying? Are we applying mentally? Are we applying by words? Or are we applying by actions? All three. If we start applying, then it becomes devotional service. So there is no knowledge required to perform this. Krishna tells, yes, cultivate faith by proper hearing. Chant Hare Krishna and come to the light. You don't have to bribe anybody to become knowledgeable. Knowledge will come. Rest assured, it's definitely coming. Simply by surrendering. But those who are so-called jnanis, they may not be devotees. They may not be devotees. So what is required? Become a devotee, the jnana will come.
How one will be having self-confidence that he has become perfect devotee?
Unless and until he gets help. The help is spiritual master. You know? And attached to the perfect teachings. The process is perfect. Accept the process which is perfect. And put yourself as much as you can, honestly, seriously, and sincerely, to and see the result. It's practical. Nothing is theoretical. Why wouldn't you chant Hare Krishna Mantra to start with? Please chant. You'll be happy. Take it. What help you want? Get it. It's available. Trivikram Maharaj is a direct disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He has dedicated his life, surrendered soul, for the cause of, you know, teaching, helping, counseling. What not? This is the benevolent activity of the Guru. He's my senior doctor. But he's very humble. He allows me to speak.
Okay, stop. Why am I being a kid?
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Allowed you to speak too much.
So in this Vedavyasa, Priya Swami Maharaj,